So Monica, go ahead and take over the screen and we're all ears. And if I do hear any feedback, I will mute you so that we can all hear what she says. And we will do questions and answers. She promised she's going to have a nice question and answer session because she knows we're all going to have a ton of questions.
Yep.
So, great. Okay, Monica, it's all yours.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alin. I'm going to start off by sharing my screen. So just give me 1 second here. All right. Okay, here we go. All right. All right, everybody. So I'm here to talk today about what's happening in kind of the post-COVID world. I'm sure you've all heard a lot about this in the news. And so I wanted to go over what's the current state of the law. It's in constant flux. But what the current state is, what the changes are that we expect, and then go into some practical advice on the steps that you should be taking now. As part of that, I do, like Lynn said, I do plan on leaving a substantial amount of time at the end for questions. Since I'm sharing a screen here, it'll be hard for me to see you if you have a question right now. So if you don't mind, let's just try to get through the slides. I'll get through all the legal part, and then we'll talk afterwards. And I'm sure you'll have lots of questions. Just a little bit of information about me. I'm a shareholder with Scully Rasmussen. I'm sure that you've seen me before through presentation. I want to thank you again for having me back. All right, so what we're gonna be covering today is a whole tier of different kinds of guidance, starting with CDC's interim guidance. That was the famous announcement that came out a couple months ago regarding masks and vaccinated people. Then we're gonna talk about the end of the governor's speech. Became effective yesterday. And we'll talk about what that means. Then we're going to talk about the Cal OSHA regulations and the anticipated changes there. That's another piece you may have heard. There's been a lot of upset about the fact that Cal OSHA wanted to require masking in most situations for most employers. There's some new guidance that they proposed just very recently that they're going to be voting on tomorrow. So again, things are changing pretty quickly. Then we'll move on to local requirements that you all need to keep in mind, then get to the practical advice, and then, as I said, save plenty of time for questions. All right, so as I mentioned, the CDC interim guidance, you're probably most familiar with this, so I'm going to go through this quickly. It is not, importantly, this is not the mandatory guidance on anyone, but this is kind of it's the federal guidance that's out there that the state has been trying to align with. Basically, what it comes down to is that fully vaccinated people can now do a number of things, including resuming activities without either wearing masks or physically distancing, unless they're required to by local, you know, whether that's state, tribal, territorial rules. They can resume domestic travel and refrain from testing before or after travel or self-quarantine after travel. I know that's been a big topic for a lot of dealers, having to deal with their employees coming back from travel. So if the employee is fully vaccinated, that's no longer a concern. Similarly, they no longer are required to, fully vaccinated people are no longer required to travel to test prior to international travel unless the place that they're going to requires it. And they don't need to self-quarantine after returning from that travel. Other changes, refrain from testing following a known exposure if they're asymptomatic. So there are some specific exceptions there, but the key thing to know is that I can remind everyone of what the definition of an exposure is, but if you have somebody who comes into contact, someone who's fully vaccinated comes into contact with somebody who does have COVID, you discover this, unlike in the past where you had to send them home for 10 days, now you only need to take those steps and you only need to test if that person actually develops symptoms. And similarly, if you are currently doing routine screening testing, which I know not many dealerships are doing that, but if you are fully vaccinated, people no longer need to be included in that. The two main restrictions that are still in place are that fully vaccinated people should continue to get tested and if they experience COVID-19 symptoms, and if there are additional travel requirements, such as Americans aren't supposed to travel to Japan right now, continue to follow those restrictions, even if you're fully vaccinated. That's just a quick rundown. As I said, this is not the controlling law in California. We have statewide and local requirements, but it is good to know. Just to make sure that we have clarity, what does fully vaccinated mean? This does mean the same thing at all, basically the same thing at all levels, but it is basically 2 weeks after, 2 weeks or more after the second dose, if it's Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, or 2 weeks after the single dose vaccine, Johnson & Johnson. I'll just add here that Cal OSHA just added that if someone is vaccinated through one of the many vaccines that have been approved by the World Health Organization, so they're more than just these three, if that vaccine is recognized by the World Health Organization, that qualifies as well. So just, you know, if you have the rare circumstance where you have an employee who has spent the last several months overseas and they got vaccinated over there with a vaccine that the World Health Organization has approved, that can be that may be considered after 2 weeks to be fully vaccinated. So those employees can now be included in this guidance as fully vaccinated. All right. As I mentioned, the end of the statewide blueprint guidance came yesterday. You probably heard all about this in the news. The big three things that this changed for you are that the physical distancing requirements are no longer necessary, capacity limits on businesses are no longer necessary, and that whole county tier system, you know, red, purple, yellow, that's all gone. So all that guidance is now rescinded. You can still look at it online for historic documents, but it's no longer in place. For car dealers specifically, there was industry-specific guidance in place that is also fully rescinded. So in many, many ways, that's really good news for everybody, particularly if you're in a location that had not yet gotten to the bottom tier. So this means that on the customer-facing side, at least from the state's point of view, you can remove many of these restrictions that are currently in place. That said, there are some things to keep in mind. Let's just go over these quickly here. For vaccine verification and negative testing, that is not required for any business. It's not required for the vast majority of businesses in the state. If you're throwing an indoor mega event or an outdoor mega event, there are different rules that apply. I assume that none of you are going to be throwing a major music concert this summer, but if you are, please give me a call because you do have to do some additional things. As I said, there'll be no capacity limitations. So if you were at 75%, for example, at least from the state's point of view, there are no longer those capacity limitations in place. Physical distancing, there are no longer restrictions for attendees, customers, and guests. Masking, you have to follow the current CDPH guidance for face coverings, which follows the CDC guidance I was mentioning earlier. So importantly, that means that people who are fully vaccinated are no longer required by the state to wear masks when they're gathering or when they're in indoor facilities. People who are not vaccinated are supposed to continue to wear masks. We'll touch on how you deal with that situation during our question and answer period largely, but you should just be aware that that is what the guidance currently is. Similarly, with travelers, the guidance is that you should follow the CDC and CDPH travel advisory. That basically means what we were just talking about for fully vaccinated people, while for unvaccinated people, the situation remains the same, still requiring testing and quarantining, for example, depending on the type of travel that they're doing. As you can see, we're really moving into a two-tier approach. Fully vaccinated people have far fewer restrictions on them. People who are not fully vaccinated are required to continue to follow many of these restrictions. All right, that moves us into the Cal OSHA regulations, which are probably the biggest issue for all of you right now. So on June 4th, Cal OSHA proposed new emergency regulations that would leave in place many COVID restrictions for employers. Now, just as a reminder, Cal OSHA is the state agency that oversees workplace safety and the workers' compensation process in the state of California. So what they say is really important because it goes directly to your liability as an employer under your workers' compensation. So the fact that they require that they're requirement was that most employees would need to continue to practice social distancing, to continue to wear masks for a period of time, except in certain circumstances, there was a lot of pushback to that, because people feel like if they have been vaccinated, the science supports that they no longer need to social distance and continue to wear masks. So, hot off the press, Cal OSHA issued new proposed regulations, we'll call the revised ETS, to replace that controversial draft. These new regulations will be voted on tomorrow, and if they are approved, they will take effect on June 28th at the latest. So that's what we're currently hearing, is that it's going to be June 28th. I think in anticipation of getting to the practical side, that's kind of the date that you can think of as when you can really start to make changes in your dealership on what you're posting, what you're requiring, the physical layout of the dealership. So take this time between now and then, one, to wait to see if Cal OSHA does finalize these regulations, and then two, what the date is going to be that they implement them. All right, so let's go over what the revised ETS would allow. So first, the big one, fully vaccinated employees will not be required to wear face coverings indoors. So that will be a big relief to a lot of your employees who are currently vaccinated. Basically, this means that employees will not need to wear face coverings if they're fully vaccinated. You won't need to require that everyone in the room be fully vaccinated. You just need to know the status of the individual employee. The previous version of this only allowed employees to go without face coverings if everyone in the room was either or was fully vaccinated. So this is a really big change and going to help out with the practicalities of that. Employees who are not fully vaccinated will be required to continue to wear a face covering while indoors or in vehicles. And there are certain exceptions to that, such as while they're alone in a room or while they're eating or drinking while maintaining physical distancing or while wearing a respirator. Why they consider that an exception, I don't know, because a respirator is a face covering, but this is their guidance. In addition, so let's talk about physical distancing. The revised ETS removes physical distancing requirements in many cases. This is good news because, again, the previous version had required continued physical distancing into July. In addition, it had required that you maintain physical barriers up until, I believe, July 30th was the rule. So, for example, if you have plexiglass up around your cash register or in between individual cubicles in your business office, this had required that you maintain those through July 30th. That was the earliest that you could remove it. However, let me just note that if you have, they have added new rules about when you have to put them back up. So, if you have an outbreak, which is three or more cases in an exposed group of employees, you need to evaluate whether or not to put those back up. And then if you have 20 or more cases in a group of employees, you're required to put barriers back up and reinstate physical distancing. I raise this now because it's something to keep in mind regarding what you plan to do. These are requirements so one way to think about this is that just because the state or in this case, Cal OSHA says that you don't have to do something anymore may not be a reason enough for you not to do it. So let's just keep that in mind as we're moving forward that, for example, you may take down barriers and then, you know, God forbid, but it could happen that a bunch of your employees all go to the same party, they'll get COVID, and you have to put them all back up. So keep that in mind. Let's talk about respirators. So the previous version of this guidance had required that employers obtain and have a small stockpile of respirators that they would make available to employees on request. They had to have those respirators by July 31st. So, you know, that could be expensive and there might have been a run on them. So the revised guidance says that you have to make respirators available upon the employee's request. So that means you no longer need to stock them and you only need to respond to a request from an employee. That we do expect that there will be additional guidance about how quickly you have to respond to that request. Hopefully it'll be onesies and twosies, not, you know, dozens at a time, in which case you can buy a reasonable number of respirators, not, you know, 5,000 of them. So this is a real improvement, but something to keep in mind, and it is something that you should communicate to your employees this is, in particular, this is should be communicated to your non-vaccinated employees, because it does impact how they can interact with each other, which I'll get into in a little bit more detail. Vaccination documentation requirements. So as you heard me say a little bit earlier ago, that employees who are not vaccinated are no longer required to wear face masks. So great news, but the state does require that you actually know that that's the case. They haven't specified what that means to verify by the vaccination status. So for example, you aren't required to photocopy their vaccination card or anything along those lines yet. We may get some additional guidance on that, but you do need to find out the status of your employees before they start going around without face masks. There are a lot of concerns here that to keep in mind regarding privacy and record keeping that I'll get into in a little bit more detail towards the end. But let's put a pin in this one because it is something that I highly recommend that everyone does. All right, so just some general things to keep in mind about this. Businesses will continue to be liable for injuries caused by contracting COVID at work. So even now that these requirements are changing, if you have an outbreak at work, there's a presumption that means the government will presume that the employee caught it at the workplace. Therefore, once that presumption is in place, the employee will be able to file a claim under workers' compensation if they are injured. So that is going to continue to be in place and should be something that informs the decision making that you do. In addition, if there is an outbreak at a business, this will also support any customer lawsuit for injury. So again, a bad scenario, but let's say you have a small outbreak at your dealership, 5 employees, including, you know, 2 service advisors, all contract COVID. The service advisor speaks to, you know, 20 different customers in that day. A couple of them get COVID, and one of them is severely injured by that. The fact that you had an outbreak at your dealership will serve as strong evidence in support of a claim against your dealership. So again, liability potential will continue to be out there throughout all of this. Hopefully that won't be a situation that anyone actually faces, but it is a reminder that liability does continue and you want to make sure that you're limiting your risk and balancing that with your business practices. Talk about local requirements briefly. The vast majority of local governments in Southern California are aligned with the CDC and statewide guidance. The notable big exception, so yesterday, for example, LA County adopted a new health order that brings it in line with statewide guidance. So if you are in the unincorporated part of the county, you can now follow the statewide guidance. However, the city of LA has still not adopted a new ordinance. I checked again about 20 minutes before the presentation started, just to be sure. So LA City is lagging behind on this. That only applies in the city proper itself. But as of right now, their previous order is in place, which means you should not be making changes in terms of you should continue to require that customers and employees wear face masks, maintain your social distancing. I expect that this will change any day now. I mean, it could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. So keep your eye on the news about this. It's going to be harder and harder every single day to require that vaccinated employees and customers continue to wear masks, for example. So let's keep an eye on this, because hopefully that they will adopt a new order any day now. But all other Southern California counties, Ventura, Riverside, Orange County, San Bernardino, all of them have now adopted orders that bring them into line with the statewide guidance. So in those locations, unless your city itself has a different order, you can now follow the statewide guidance. All right, let's talk about practical advice for all this. This is what I'd recommend that every single dealership do at this point. Like I said, keep in mind the Cal OSHA guidance saying that employees who are fully vaccinated no longer need to wear masks. That probably will not be actually active until June 28th. So you still have a little bit less than 2 weeks to prepare for this. But first, assess the vaccination status of your employees. One big theme from all of this is that it's a 2-tier system now. There are vaccinated people and there are unvaccinated people. So figure out where you are with your employees. I'll talk after the next slide. We'll go into more detail about how to do that. Second, evaluate your business's individual risk. So what I mean by that is, do you have a facility that is smaller that will where once you return to a more regular setup, that there's going to be almost no physical distancing? Do people meet with their customers in small offices? What's your ventilation like? Do you keep the doors open often, or is everything airtight? Every single facility is going to be a little bit different. So evaluate your business's individual risk. Another part of that, again, is going to be the vaccination status of your employees. If only, you know, a third of your employees are vaccinated, your risk is going to be very different from a dealership where, you know, 70, 80% of the employees are vaccinated. So evaluate that when you're thinking about what kind of changes you're going to do. But once you've made that evaluation, you should change your COVID prevention protocols. One of the things that is always good for a defense is if the things that you're doing in place are reactive to the individual circumstances on the ground. So if you make changes now that are responsive to your individual business risk, that's a good place to be in. And frankly, I think it's going to be very hard to maintain these protocols if you don't tell your employees that changes are coming. They're expecting your changes. So if you want to maintain compliance, let them know good things are coming down the pike. Once you have made changes to your prevention protocols, be sure to communicate those to your employees and to the public. So you've had all these signs up for months and months now. This is the time when you're going to start thinking about changing those signs, taking down some of them. Maybe take, if you have, you know, physical distancing markers on the floors, this is the time to start thinking about changing that. Don't run off and do that immediately after this seminar. Do steps 1, 2, and 3 first, but that should be an important part of what you're thinking about. Make sure you're actually accurately communicating to the public about what your requirements are. And then finally, be sure to train your employees about the new rules. Specifically, if any employee asks for an N95 mask, they need to receive some training about how to properly wear one. Probably one of the best opportunities is to just find something on YouTube and send them a video about how to properly wear an N95 mask. Continue to talk to your employees about hand washing, covering their faces when they if they sneeze, if they have any symptoms of COVID, how to identify them, and remind them, do not come to work if you have any symptoms of COVID. So continue to communicate with them and train on those issues. And every time you do that, make a note, just make sure you have a record of it. Because again, this is one of those things that if you're doing the right things, you want to make sure you have a record of it so that if the bad happens, you can show that you are doing the right thing to prevent it. We can't prevent all bad things, but we can prove that we did the correct stuff to prevent the bad thing from happening. All right, I mentioned asking about vaccination status. There's more detail to go into this, and I think I'd rather talk about that through your questions. But the important things to know here are that, one, it's crucial to maintain employee privacy. So just to give you an example about this, California law has very specific requirements about how you treat your employee. So let me just back up. You've probably heard people talking about, like, oh, that violates HIPAA. Almost no car dealership is obligated to do anything under HIPAA, that, for example. So you might, if you know that, you might think, okay, I don't have to really worry about medical privacy. That's not true either. You want to maintain your employees' privacy when it comes to health information. One, for customer morale, and two, because collecting that information is considered sensitive information under California law. Under the CCPA, you can be liable for spreading information or giving someone access to information that's considered sensitive information who should not have it. So when I'm thinking about maintaining employee privacy, that has to be done on both the front end and the back end. So one, when you're asking for someone's COVID status, please don't do that in a sales meeting on Monday morning and have everyone raise their hands. That's not the right way to do it. It should be done one-on-one or through an electronic and secure method. It should not be asked in public or in a way where that information is going to be spread. Two, you have to make sure that you're maintaining privacy on the back end. And that moves into storing vaccination status information in a secure manner. So think about who's collecting this information, who will have access to it. I highly recommend that you keep that to as small of a circle of people as possible. So that could mean, for example, that your business manager, you are the only person who actually has the full list. And then beyond that, only the direct manager of the employee knows of that employee's vaccine status. Make sure you're keeping it to just the people who need to know to implement your COVID safety policy. And then in addition to this, do not request more than vaccination status. This is a really important point. So when you're asking your employees about their vaccination status, I recommend posing it as a simple question. Are you fully vaccinated at this something along the lines of, are you fully vaccinated at this point? And then provide them with the definition of fully vaccinated. If they say no, do not follow up with questions. Why aren't you vaccinated? Or is there something wrong with you? Or, you know, anything along those lines, because one, again, you might be asking about medical information, which again needs to be treated specially, needs to be kept in a secure manner. And then two, you might be moving into ADA issues where they may reveal information that triggers the requirement for an accommodation. Are you prepared to handle that at that point? The best way to handle this is simply to ask the straightforward question whether or not they are fully vaccinated on that date. So what I have recommended to some of my dealer clients is that when they're figuring out how to do this, that they simply, the one way that I would most recommend it is that you set up a secure method for them to explain, to give you this answer electronically. So what my ideal situation would be if you send them a one question, or I guess maybe two question, what's your name? And then a second question, are you fully vaccinated? Yes or no. And send that to them through a secure online survey system if they all have access to the internet. The reason why that's a good way to do it is then you will have just the information that you wanted. There's no possibility for human error through follow-up. You won't have a situation where a manager berates somebody for not getting a vaccine. You have more control over that situation. And then all of the information is in a single location in a secure method. That may not be feasible for everybody. Not everyone at your work may have access to the internet, for example. So you may have to come up with different approaches, but that's just, think about that as an example of how to do this in a way where you're not introducing human error into it and you're keeping the information secure and private. All right. With that, I kept that to about 25 minutes. That's a lot of information. If there's anything that you didn't catch in there, I'd love to go over it with you. My email address is here as well. So if you have any questions that you'd rather follow up with me by email about, I'm more than happy to respond to you. So feel free to do that. But I'm going to take this off the stop share for now, and then why don't we go into a discussion section. All right. There we go. How do I end the... Ta-da. All right, Alin, want to take everyone off of mute?
Can an employer... I get questions like this all the time. Can the employer still require people to wear masks?
Thank you.
Great question. Can an employer continue to wear? Certainly can.
Right.
And
hey, did you hear? Hey, Monica, did you hear about? Tried to sue the employer because her husband, she felt that she contracted COVID from her husband.
On a meeting.
Why? For some reason, Mark, I'm sorry you got muted.
Whatever. Yeah, so Jim cut out there for a second. But I think you're asking me about a case. There's a recent case where the wife of an employee sued the employer under a theory that she was injured by him contracting COVID at the workplace. The good news is that the federal court, at least at the district level, turned that down, saying that the employer has no duty under workers' compensation law to the wife. Now, that said, that's the way that she brought the case. I think in other circumstances, if she made it more through a regular tort claim as opposed to a claim against workers' compensation, that she would have had a better chance. And definitely if she had shown that they were more reckless as opposed to under the strict liability of workers' compensation, she'd have a better case. But thanks, Jen. That was one really good ruling to come down. So it's good to know that the courts are a little bit on our side on this one.
I have a question. So
yes.
My sales department has the understanding that customers don't have to wear masks, but all of my employees should be wearing masks. And I don't necessarily agree with that because I know that all of our employees are not vaccinated. So like I know in the business office, we have 7 of us here and 3 of them are not vaccinated. So I say masks are still required because not everybody is vaccinated. Can we make them get vaccinated?
So let me, 2 things in there. So you are fully, as of right now, under Cal OSHA's regulations, all of your employees basically should still be wearing masks. So unless they're in their private office, for example, or you know that everyone in the room at that moment is fully vaccinated, all of your employees should continue to wear masks, and that is true at least until June 28th. So for now, you know, communicate to them that they should continue to wear masks. On the customer side, customers are no longer, that's a complicated issue because technically the state says that people who are not vaccinated should be wearing masks inside your facility. Whether or not there are no requirements about you enforcing that in a manner where you have to confirm their vaccination status. You are allowed to rely on their representation that they're vaccinated. You're not even required to ask them about it. And frankly, that's probably not going to be an option that you want to pick. So you know, that introduces a whole bunch of uncertainty into this. And I think that's why a lot of employees feel like, well, I should be able to be unvaccinated and not wear a mask because I know customers are going to come in and do that. That said, to your bigger question, can you require vaccination? The answer is probably yes. There are some open questions out there about the fact that Cal OSHA specifically says that authorized vaccines, that you're allowed to mandate an authorized vaccine because of the actual danger to other employees. There have been some lawsuits on whether or not these vaccines are authorized because all the vaccines out there in America right now have emergency authorization. So those cases are going to make their way through the court. From what I'm hearing, most of those cases, I don't think any of them have succeeded so far. So the answer is yes, you can probably mandate vaccines. Now there are important caveats there. Under California law, you do have to provide some exemptions for that. The most important being an ADA exemption and a religious belief exemption. And in both of those situations, if you want to go down that path, please give me a call and you and I can talk it through because it is complicated. But basically, yes, you can require vaccinations.
DH both came out of Lynn and said that they can require it, but you have to adhere to the 2 exceptions, as Monica just said, religion and something that's medically related.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, it's what I'm hoping is, what I would recommend is that you start communicating now with your employees. You send out basically a survey monkey with 2 questions. What's my name? What's my vaccine status? And tell them that you're going to be moving to a new policy that allows people who are not vaccinated to no longer wear masks and that everyone else has to continue wearing masks. And I'm hoping that will be the push, and not having to wear masks, that will push people to vaccination. So maybe a little, that combination of sticks and carrots might help instead of you having to be the bad guy and requiring a vaccination.
We use Hotlink HR Hotlink, and part of that survey and the day that the on the 15th, one of the questions was, are you vaccinated?
Great.
So you've got a choice of yes, I am fully vaccinated. No, I'm not fully vaccinated, or I refuse to answer. So we are doing that.
Great.
But I haven't really done anything about the information, but I am gonna talk to Tom about that, because I like that, because everybody's asking me what's changed, and I'm telling them nothing. You still wear your mask. You still take your survey. You still take your temperature. Nothing has changed for us at this point. You guys, it's business as usual. I don't care what the governor said. You guys are going to wear your mask. Mm-hmm. Well, then I've got my general manager saying, oh, no, we're not wearing masks. And I'm like, well, time out, dude. Let's wait. Time out.
Yeah. You are right in this situation.
Okay. Can you email Ted and tell him that?
Anytime. Yeah. But let's talk.
They're now creating, and you guys know into looking for fraud and things of that nature. You know, now they're also, they have fraudulent vaccination cards out there now that people can buy. So the business about showing you a vaccination card, in my opinion, is not going to matter. Hey, these people go buy one off the internet. They're selling it.
Yeah.
$50.
So what if they refuse to get it? I mean, you're mandating it in your dealership, but what if they refuse to get it one? We have people that do that. They don't want it.
Yeah. So a couple of points there. So if you don't have a mandate and people refuse to get a vaccine, that means that they, let me get into a little detail there. One, they can either wear a normal mask and continue to social distance, to engage in physical distancing for the foreseeable future, or they can wear an N95 mask and no longer social distance. So in that case, you know, they can be in the room with everyone else. They don't have to worry about how far they are from people, but that's only for N95 masks. So that, if you don't mandate a vaccine, those are the two options basically available to those employees.
But we have to provide the masks, the N95s.
Yes. Okay. Second, if you establish a policy stating that everyone needs to be vaccinated and they don't qualify for either of the two exceptions or the exemptions, so again, religion and a medical accommodation, then you can discipline them under the policy. Now, I know the politics in dealerships, so that I'm sure that this is another reason why I'm not a huge fan of those policies, that you may be opening up a huge can of worms and, you know, a little revolt in the dealership. So I'd be hesitant to do that. It might be great for your individual dealership, maybe not for others. But I recommend that you think carefully beyond the law for that one. Just, you know, beyond the legal issues there. They're just, you know, morale and other issues to consider. Like I said, hopefully the fact that you have to continue wearing a mask for a period of time will be enough to get people to do it.
There's some people out there that just don't want to do it. They'd rather wear the mask. They're not going to care.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So my little brother, whom I love dearly, sends me like 3 or 4 podcasts a day about how vaccines are going to kill me. And he's refusing to get vaccinated. He tells everyone he's not vaccinated. He wears his mask and just as a badge of honor to him. So, yep. Him and I cannot be any more different on this issue. I did want to follow up on what Jim was saying, though, which is that there are all these fraudulent vaccine cards out there. Cal OSHA has not set out any, as I mentioned earlier, they haven't set out any requirements as to how you establish someone's vaccination status. So I do suspect that if you're asking people their vaccination status and you're saying that, you know, after June 28th, for example, people who are fully vaccinated no longer need to wear masks, some number of your employees, unfortunately, will probably either lie to you, or even if you require a vaccine card, that's not going to cut it either, because they spend $10, or if they're good at Photoshop, they can just make one, because they're pretty simple. So, that's why, unless Cal OSHA says to you that you have to get copies of the vaccine cards, I wouldn't bother with that, because I don't think that that's any improvement on the situation. And it's just creating more medical information that you're storing about your employees. And why give yourself that additional potential liability?
It's an unnecessary stress. Because some of these people, like you just said, it's just, I wouldn't trip it.
Yep. I mean, granted, it might be a fewer number of people who would go out and get a fake car versus people who will just, you know, lie to you about it. But, you know, there will be some, so, of either. So, just keep it simple.
And even if they say yes or and it's a lie, I mean, my concern is you think everybody's vaccinated, then all of a sudden you have an outbreak at the dealership, and then now you've got either, and like for the city of Pasadena, you get three people, the city of Pasadena come into your place of business and tell you what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband, where he works, that's what happened. And they were coming in, they had to have a 24 or a, when, as long as a business was open, they had to have somebody on site cleaning. They had to have signs. They had to have, I mean, and it was ridiculous. And the city of Pasadena tells you what you can and cannot do.
But you know what? There's no perfect scenario to any of this. That's the problem. You know, Cal OSHA, I don't trust them worth a damn. Every time they come around, you know, they're coming out with some new guidelines. I mean, ever since last year. I mean, they didn't come out with their major guidelines until almost November. I mean, this thing was going on since last, you know, January, February, March. And then after they came out with that, Newsom turned around and changed some of that. I mean, this stuff's ridiculous.
Yep. You know, the best thing that you can do, I mean, I think we should all anticipate that that some of our employees will, in fact, lie about their vaccine status. Honestly, I think that that's a risk that you should be prepared for. When you're considering your protocols for that reason, I would highly recommend that you continue to do some some measures. So, for example, you know, customers are definitely going to come in and say that they're vaccinated, you know, not wear a mask. You can put up all the signs you want, say, you know, fully vaccinated customers are welcome without a mask. If you're not vaccinated, please, you know, continue to wear a mask. I would recommend that you put something up like that, but people will ignore it. And if they do, you know, so to protect your employees, I would recommend that you keep up barriers for a while, frankly. If you've already erected them, why take them down at this point?
Right.
If you have an outbreak, you'll have to put them back up. So whatever you do, don't throw them away. Right. But why go through that extra work? As long as they're not, you know, a hindrance to your business, I'd keep them up for now.
And the vaccination, there's no guarantee of the vaccination. They're telling people are getting the vaccination and some of them are still getting COVID.
Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah, you guys are dealing with the public. I would have them wearing masks just to be on the safe side. It's really for them, too.
Uh-huh. That's something really worth keeping in mind, particularly the attitudes at your dealership. If let's say in your business office, you know, the tends to be, if it's a group of older people who are, you know, concerned about COVID, they're it's probably wise to take that temperature and continue to require masks and other safety measures. Continue to offer people safer options throughout the dealership. So if you have an outdoor eating area that you set up, keep it set up if you can, if you can afford to do it. You know, I would recommend keeping up some of those measures that are, you know, more effective and that aren't a hindrance to your business.
Okay. I know a lot of us are still muted, so we do have the chat if you want to ask a question, or please feel free to unmute yourself if you have any questions. I don't want to ask all the questions.
Lynn, why don't we have a call tomorrow?
You didn't ask all the questions. I asked a question earlier.
Yeah, Jim's very much part of the conversation. I like that.
Yes. Well, but I knew you'd chime in, Jim. Okay, well, if nobody else has any questions. 45-minute meeting. Look at us go. Whoop, whoop.
Monica, great presentation, Monica. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. Hopefully we'll see. Next month is Sam Sully. So hopefully you guys can join us for that.
All right. Okay. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Thank you.
Monica, will you send me the PowerPoint?
Happy to. Yep.
Thank you.
Of course. And talk to you later.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Perfect. Bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.